Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next 30 minutes, please stay with me. Could be, in fact, it might be, some of the most important 30 minutes of your entire life. You see, this show, The Flatline, FLOT, is always about motivation, inspiration, and some education, and we do it with no manipulation. It means we don't have hidden agendas here because we're not trying to sell you anything. We're not trying to recruit you for anything. We're not trying to coerce you into doing anything. All we're trying to do is give you some accurate information, information that will help you verify and identify God's plan for your life. And if you're able to do that, then you have the freedom to orient and adjust to the plan if you'd like to. But The Flatline is a show that's heard every Sunday here on this radio station. It's always my privilege to bring you this show, and it's my prayer that you're learning and listening and that you're making the application of some of this into your life. Sometimes people ask me, who are you and what do you do? I'm not a pastor. I'm simply an evangelist. Yes, I'm an evangelist, but I don't do some revivals, as you may think about evangelists doing revivals. Mostly I speak in schools talking to students across the United States. And this radio show just happened to come along about 5 years ago. Never did I think I'd ever be doing a radio show, nor did I ever want to do a radio show. But as the Lord would have it, this door opened up, and I really enjoy doing this for you. And I hope you're enjoying it as well. You can always feel free to contact me if you'd like to at Post Office Box 100 in the city of Cropwell, Alabama. That's C-R-O-P-W-E-L-L, Cropwell, Alabama. Our zip code is 35054, 35054. Or you could write through the website. Simply go to bigrick.org. That's www.bigrick.org. And there you can send us an email. That's our website, and it explains what we do in the schools across the United States, and hopefully you can learn how to pray for us and see a few things that we do. But our home and our offices is down near Birmingham, Alabama, near the famous racetrack called Talladega. We're not too far from the Talladega racetrack, about halfway between Birmingham and Atlanta. And so now you know where we are, what we do. Thank you for joining. Thank you for listening. And I hope the show today and the things that we will talk to you about today will be a challenge and an inspiration to you as well. Because I've chosen a subject that I think is very, very important for this day and time. If you listened last week, you listened to a show called Distractions. In that show, a woman, we read from Matthew chapter 20, a woman came up to Jesus just after he had finished telling the disciples why they were going to Jerusalem. He told those disciples, in fact, that he was going there to die. And he said that he would be betrayed and that he would be beaten and crucified. And just as soon as he had said that, a woman came up under the pretense of worship, but actually she had a hidden agenda. She wanted her sons to be promoted to places of reverence in heaven. Her two sons were James and John, the sons of Zebedee. And they were gill netters. They were fishermen in the business of gill netting with the Apostle Peter. And so the Lord immediately discerned what this woman's agenda was and said, look, I can't give places of honor in heaven. That's only up to my Father. And then he asked the boys, do you think you'll be able to endure the sufferings that I'm going through? And of course they said, well, certainly we can. Yes, we can. And I'm sure our Lord got a real chuckle out of that. But that was a total lack of humility, both on her part and on his part, or their part, excuse me, the part of James and John. The lack of humility means an unrealistic self-image because they thought in their mind that they could go through what the Lord Jesus Christ was going to go through. And the woman who came up with this question was used by Satan to create a great distraction to the disciples because they all began to argue among themselves about who was the greatest. And our Lord had to stop and teach him the lesson about being a servant and being a slave. So a lack of humility can really get us into trouble sometime. And when I'm talking about humility, I'm not talking about walking around with your shoulders all slumped forward and eyes to the ground and afraid to look up. That's not what I'm talking about. Some wimpy, weak-kneed, milquetoast-type person. That's not humility. The humility that I'm talking about is found in the Bible in James 4:10. And this is what it says. Be humble before the Lord, and He will exalt you. Be humble before the Lord, and He will exalt you. There are two Greek words here that are very important, humble and exalt. The word humble, and you can't see me write this word in Greek, so I'll try to explain it to you. Tapinoo. Tapinoo. T-A-P-E-I-N-O-O. T-A-P-E-I-N-O-O. Tapinoo. You say, why is that important? Because the Bible, the New Testament, was originally written in the Greek New Testament. Originally written in Greek under the Koine dialect. As we study the New Testament, it's imperative that we understand the words and the times in which they were written. And so as we go back and see tapinoo, we see that the morphology of that verb is an imperative, but with a passive voice. It is an active, passive, aorist, passive, imperative. An aorist, passive, imperative. That simply means this, that at any point in time, the subject, which is you, will receive, and the passive voice means the subject receives, not produces, the action of the verb, and the imperative mood is the mood of command. This humility is not self-induced. It is not a false humility. This is a humility of orientation to grace from the Holy Spirit. It is when the Holy Spirit has, the Bible says, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and meekness. This humility is something that comes from orienting to the Word of God, using the grace of God, and having a realistic self-image. If you can have that, then the Bible says He will hupsoo you, hupsoo. There's another Greek word, which is translated into the English, exalt. The word actually means to dignify you or to honor you. So I want us to see exactly what biblical humility is. And you will see, as I've seen, that many of us need a bigger dose of humility than we actually have. Because, number one, humility is simply freedom from arrogance and pride. Freedom from arrogance and pride. It's not some feeling of inferiority. It is not some feeling of insignificance, but it is rather a quality or a state of being humble. And that means that you recognize who your authority is. Without understanding authority, you can have no humility in life. And that's why the first thing that a child has to learn under the administration of the home is found in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents. Honor your father and your mother. Orientation to the authority of the parents and honoring the parents develops genuine humility. And without genuine humility, no one has integrity. Integrity is required to live life, and you cannot live it without genuine humility. So when we're talking about genuine biblical humility, it's not derogatory nor undue self-depreciation. It's simply the function of God's grace as a problem-solving device while we live in His directive will. It's orienting to the grace of God. It's learning who and what we are. It's an attitude of respect for authority within the plan of God. It's really a system of thinking before it ever becomes a way of life. Humility is really a system of thinking before it ever becomes a way of life. That's why the Bible says in Romans 12:3, listen carefully, stop thinking of yourself in terms of arrogance, but think in terms of sanity, as God has assigned to each one of us a standard of thinking from His Word. Think in terms of humility. Now that verse that I just gave you, Romans 12:3, is a modified, expanded translation of what's there. This is the correct way that the King James Bible puts it. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. That's the arrogance factor. But to think soberly. That's the genuine humility factor. According as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith, or from the word of God. So, listen as I correct it now. I'm going to read it from the King James Version of the Bible, and then I'll give you the corrected translation. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now let me give you the modified expanded translation. Stop thinking of yourself in terms of arrogance, beyond what you should, but think in terms of sanity, as God has assigned to each one of us a standard of thinking from His Word. Thinking in terms of sanity. The most arrogant thing in the world is to have this unrealistic self-image of who and what you are. An unrealistic self-image of who and what you are. In Psalm 32:9, the Bible says, "Be you not like the horse, or like the mule that has no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with a bit and a bridle, lest they come near unto thee." So you see, it's an amazing thing. But God was in the business of teaching us humility before we ever were born. Humility reaches its peak when you become a mature believer. When you no longer feel threatened by other people around you. When you no longer have this feeling of self-pity and your little pity parties that we all get into sometimes. The believer becomes no longer, and this is a great thing, when we get to the place that we're no longer hypersensitive. We don't think those people are talking about us, and we don't feel out of place when we're around certain people. You see, when you get humility, you're not trying to prove yourself to anyone. You're not trying to influence anyone. You're just trying to live your life one day at a time, not being threatened, not having self-pity, not being hypersensitive, but totally relaxed and totally comfortable with who and what you are. You see, arrogance is never relaxed. Arrogance is never comfortable. Because arrogance is constantly complaining. Arrogance is constantly judging. Arrogance is constantly justifying why it's right and everybody else is wrong. And you want to know something? No preacher ever taught me about arrogance when I went to a church. I mean, I still go to a church, don't misunderstand me, but what I'm saying is, I've never heard a pastor really talk about this before. When you get in and listen to your pastor, listen carefully. Has he ever talked to you about arrogance? You know, we hear about sin, don't do this, and don't do that, and don't do this, and don't do that. But what about the mental attitude sin of arrogance? The Bible's full of it. This is what happened with Satan. This is why he was kicked out of heaven. Because he arrogantly assumed that he could take over and rule as God. Arrogance is the first sin committed in the Bible. When Satan was able to successfully get Eve to think that God was hiding something from her, and that if she would eat that fruit, she could be as wise as God. That was arrogance. Arrogance is an amazing thing in our life. When we begin to justify why we are right and God is wrong, when we begin to justify why we are right and our parents are wrong, or why we are right and the police officer is wrong, just listen to people talk. And listen to them justify their decisions based on their own arrogance. It's an amazing, amazing attitude of unrealistic self-image. You see, when you have arrogance, you're never relaxed and you're never comfortable. You're always upset. You don't have any poise. And poise is an amazing thing. I think I'm using the word amazing too much here, but poise is the ability to think under pressure. Thinking under pressure, that's what poise is. And if there's anything the spiritual life gives you as you orient to the Word of God, and as you develop some humility in your life, is you are able to think under pressure. And you can have courage. When you have courage under pressure, then that's an expression of humility. Courage is an expression of humility. And here is something that maybe you've never thought about. Humility is a sign of teachability. Humility is a sign of teachability. And I can promise you A lot of teachers will tell you this. You cannot teach an arrogant student anything. If a student doesn't have some humility, they are not teachable. And I know this from my own experience because I was in high school the most arrogant jerk that ever lived. And I wasn't dumb. I was just stupid. I wouldn't listen. I wouldn't pay attention. And teachers couldn't teach me anything until I had some enforced humility, until I woke up one day because of situations that occurred in my life and made me realize you're being a jerk. You need to get up there and you need to pay attention and you need to listen and you need to appreciate what your teachers are doing and not fight them. And that was what turned my life around. That was what changed my life when I finally got a little bit of humility, began to see myself as I really was. The Bible talks about in Proverbs 3, going over to about 33, the curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesses the habitation of the just. Surely he scoffs at the scoffers, but he gives grace unto the humble. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be promotion of a fool. And that's the arrogant fool, the fool who thinks he knows better than God. Do you know why God puts things in the Bible? To protect you, to guarantee that you can have a wonderful life, not a miserable life. And if you are miserable today, I'm almost willing to bet you that it's probably 99% because of your own bad decisions. You stepped out of line. You might have even known that you shouldn't do what you're about to do. You went ahead and did it anyhow. Now you're miserable. And then you complain and gripe about it. And in your arrogance, you want to blame it all on someone else. It's all their fault. It's never your fault. You see, that's the unrealistic self-image. And that's the arrogant self-justification. You know, the plain truth is that God can only promote the believer who has some humility. He can't promote the arrogant believer because the Bible says he's at war with the arrogant believer. Did you know that? I'm going to turn to 1 Peter in the New Testament. In the book of 1 Peter, chapter 5, verses 5 and 6, we find this. Listen carefully. In like manner, you younger, submit yourself unto the elders. Now, there's the mandate to have some humility. Submit yourself unto the elders. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. So humble yourselves therefore unto the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Did you hear that? God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. In this passage, be subject to, as I read, be subject to one another, subject to your pastor, subject to your parents, subject to the police officer. That's the imperative mood in the Greek. That's not a request. When the Bible says, clothe yourself with humility, I'm reading it right here, subject yourself one to another and be clothed with humility. That's an imperative mood. That's not a request, that's an imperative mood. Humble yourselves, in verse 6, under the mighty hand of God. That's a command. And then he will, hoopso-o, the word we've had before, he will exalt you in due time. You know, God has a time for everything. God has a plan for everything. I remember a quarterback of a football team. That particular quarterback won the national championship that year in the NCAA. He was often overlooked, often maligned, but in this one particular game, he had an amazing game. And people began to see exactly what caliber of quarterback that he was, his poise under pressure, and his ability to lead the team to victory. And one of the TV interviewers asked him at the end, did you ever get tired of people being critical of you in the earlier days of your career? And he quoted this verse. He said, no, I knew that 1 Peter 5:6 said, if I would humble myself under the mighty hand of God, he would exalt me in due time. See, that's an attitude of humility, not trying to vindicate yourself, not trying to exalt yourself, not trying to prove that you're right and everybody else is wrong. That's a great attitude of humility because it takes the monkey off of your back and puts the monkey on God's back. The Supreme Court of Heaven is open 24 hours a day. All you have to do is take it to the Lord and leave it there and go on down the highway and don't worry about what people say. Don't worry about what people think. And don't worry about trying to vindicate yourself. But if you get out of fellowship with God, if you allow the sin of arrogance to creep into your life, and make no mistake about it, it is a sin when you're preoccupied with yourself. It is a sin when you don't see yourself as you really are. It is a sin when you justify why you're right and God is wrong. It's a mental attitude sin. And when you get out of fellowship with God like this, and you begin to go down that my way highway, you're going to be confused. You will lack direction. You will lack motivation in your life. And that's why humility is so important, because it can protect you. It can protect you from all the attacks in life, because it's total grace orientation to God's plan. You are His slave. You are His servant. And you know that He has only your best interest at heart. And it's the basis for gratitude and appreciation. When you have genuine humility, that is the basis for gratitude and appreciation towards God as well as other people. That's why we're able to have thanksgiving in worship and in prayer, because we have gratitude and appreciation. It's the attitude of gratitude. So humility, if I had to break it down for you, it's the recognition and respect for authority. Humility is simply the divine viewpoint thinking, thinking from God's word, not thinking from what people tell you you should say or tell you should do, but what does the Bible say you should do? Humility gives poise and courage under pressure, and it's a form of teachability. Without humility, you're not going to learn very much in life. And when you have humility, when you're able to learn, then you can have some real capacity to live and love and to have great happiness, because you've enjoyed contentment. You've learned the secret to life, which is contentment. No arrogant person is ever content. Paul said, I've learned to be content. Whatever state I'm in, whether I have a lot or whether I have a little, it doesn't make any difference, because I can do all things through Christ. Contentment is the secret to life. And it's the basis for gratitude and appreciation with the mindset of humility. Humility will allow you to function on right priorities and make good decisions. And arrogance will destroy you as you make bad decisions. And remember, bad decisions limit future options. If you make enough bad decisions, you'll find yourself boxed in sooner or later. Humility allows you to recognize your sin and to recover from your sin. And this is exactly what God wants you to do. And this leads us to another subject. Not only are we going to take a look at the concept of humility today, but the person that has humility is also faithful. Humility and faithfulness go arm in arm together. Being faithful, being a faithful believer. You know, this word faithful is the word pistos, P-I-S-T-O-S, from the noun pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S. There's also faithless and apistos, the negative A in front of it, faithless. Faithless means God can't trust you. You're not worthy of God putting His confidence in you. The Bible says, who then is faithful? Who is the wise slave whom the master has put in charge of his household to give the other slaves their food at the proper time? The word faithful is used of the servants of the Lord, and it's used of God. Listen carefully. The Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. The Bible says no trial has overtaken you that others have not faced, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tried too much, but with the trial will provide a way through it so that you may be able to endure the test. So just as God is faithful for you, then God wants you to be faithful to Him. The Bible says in Luke 12, from everyone who's been given much, much will be required. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, even much more will be asked. The question that I have to give you today is, have you been given much? I know that when you got saved, you were given at least 40 invisible assets. I know you have a magnificent life that God has provided for you. Not only do you have eternal security, not only do you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, not only do you have the authorized canon of Scripture called the Bible, not only do you have the local church and the fellowship of other believers and the authority of the pastor, and he goes on and on and on. Look what God has provided for you so that you can have a marvelous and wonderful life and not screw it up with your own arrogance. Jesus said in Matthew 17:17, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you, and how long shall I bear with you? That faithless generation had turned aside and had perverted or corrupted the Word of God. God is looking for you to be the faithful believer who grows, who lives under the concept of humility, and who glorifies Jesus Christ with every thought and every deed in his life. You know, faithfulness was a characteristic in the early days of the church. Paul the Apostle wrote in Ephesians 1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and the faithful ones in Christ Jesus. That's what God's looking for. Fidelity. Faithfulness. It's one of the requirements for humility. It's one of the benefits of wisdom. Listen to Matthew 24:45. Who then is a faithful and a wise servant, whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? See, an unfaithful person doesn't really have much wisdom. But a person who's faithful to grow in the grace and the knowledge of his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the person who is faithful to stay filled with the Holy Spirit, the person who is faithful to orient to grace and realize that God was in business before they got here, then he is the one that God will use and God will promote. Communicators of the Word of God must be faithful to teach it too. Listen to this in Jeremiah 23. The prophet who has a dream, let him tell his dream. But the one that has my word, let him speak it faithfully. Is not my word like fire, says the Lord, like a hammer that breaks rock into pieces? You see, every communicator of the Word of God must be faithful to teach it, and teach it truly, to teach it faithfully. We are not considered faithful if we lie and bear false witness in our life. Faithfulness is a key ingredient in humility. It's one of the byproducts of humility. And we are considered faithful when we give loving acceptance and even loving reproof sometimes. Listen to this. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Proverbs 27:6. And in Psalm 141, let the righteous strike me. It shall be a kindness. And let him rebuke me. It shall be an excellent oil. My head shall not refuse it. A faithful friend will let you know when you're wrong. A faithful friend will not criticize you. A faithful friend will alert you and pray for you and even confront you. He won't let you self-destruct. And God is your faithful friend. The Bible is your faithful friend. And they are calling out to you today. Listen carefully to the words that I say. This is Rick Hughes. Thank you for listening to The Flightline.
Thank you for listening to The Flightline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or on the Internet at www.bigrick.org.